somehow plugged into action.
Did you find those? Yes. Did you get those peanuts?
There they are. There's some beer nuts you had, which don't really.
You don't have any beer.
There's no beer involved.
Just the nuts.
They're just nuts.
Don't get.
These are really good.
They are pretty good.
Pretty good.
Well, I'm a fan of regular peanuts, I guess.
What's wrong with these?
There's nothing wrong with them. I just really like regular peanuts.
They're regular peanuts. They're original peanuts. It says on.
Then why are they so good if they're just regular?
I don't know.
Well, you see what I said? You see what I did? Turn it around.
I don't know what.
They're softer.
They feel softer.
They're a little softer. I don't know what they do to them.
Hmm.
Are they boiled?
No, I've had a boiled peanut.
It's so good. It doesn't sound good.
I had it. I guess some people are fans because it's a thing.
It's got to be.
Some
people like Boston baked beans too, but I can't. Can't really get into those.
First time I heard about the boiled peanuts, we were out going. Me and Charles and Rich. Was Rich? Yeah, Rich was there. I think. Rich
is that short for Richard?
Maybe Rich wasn't there. I can't remember for sure.
Is that short for Richard?
Yeah, it's short for Richard.
Oh.
We went out to this haunted trail thing or whatever.
Yeah.
Did you get scared? By a sign that said, a big sign that says, yes, we have boiled peanuts.
You were excited.
Like a convenience shop. I'm like, what is that? I've never had it before.
I had to have it.
And so I went in, and I said, well, do you guys have the boiled peanuts? And she pointed back to the sign. She's like, yeah. And she points back, and there's this big sign that says, boiled peanuts. And so I go back, and it was gross. It was like a cauldron with, like, these peanuts in it. And she said, you just fish them out. Just fish them out. And so you, like, fished them out and put them in this container.
They're still in the shells?
They're still in the shells.
Mm-hmm.
And so I cracked one open, and I ate it. It was like, ah, it's hot. And she's like, they're boiling.
Yeah.
So I felt foolish.
She got you, yeah.
They're disgusting.
Foolish.
They're so gross.
Somebody
might like them, but I think they're disgusting.
Well.
Gross, dude. Oh, hey, everybody.
I'd probably agree.
It's Action Features, the podcast where we talk about boiled peanuts.
We talk about foods of various kinds. I love food.
Heard it too.
No shame.
Speaking of food, here's something else.
No shame in that.
Here's something else for you.
Okay.
Here's something else. We were coming back from Indianapolis.
Okay.
Over the weekend. Because we went to the G.I. Joe convention, which we'll get into later in the show, right?
Yeah.
G.I.
Joe BotCon.
Mm-mm. No.
Hmm.
No, not BotCon. So we're on our way back, right? And Keaton wasn't feeling good. He was asleep in the back, and Bobby was sitting in the back with him, and Blaze was up front with me. And so I pulled over at a Walmart because I needed to get some aspirin. And Bobby said, oh, get like a bag of munchies while you're in there. I was like, oh, you want an actual bag of munchies?
Yeah.
Like munchies.
Yeah.
She's like, well, no, I meant like a bag of snacks. They don't make munchies anymore.
You should have got our bag of boiled peanuts.
I should have, yeah. And she's like, I'm not sure if they make munchies anymore, the munchies brand, but if they still made those, that would be amazing. I'm like, I think they do still make munchies. Right?
I think so.
So, okay, here's a segue. Whoever came up with the idea of the munchies is a genius.
Yeah.
He just like took all the leftover things. There's not much left in this bag.
Yep.
There's not many Cheetos left. There's not a lot of Doritos left.
He couldn't decide what he wanted.
I'll just put them all together.
Decide what he wanted.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So good. So anyway, I go in. It's me and Blaze, right? And we're in the aisle, and we're looking through the aisle trying to find the munchies.
Blaze and I. I wish everybody could see the look you just gave me.
Okay, this isn't grammar features. All right?
Hey.
We're supposed to be talking just like we're talking to our friends.
Hey, wait a second. I just had an idea for a new podcast.
Yeah.
Grammar features.
Yeah, you can do that one on your own.
Okay.
So, Blaze and I are walking through the aisle and we're looking for munchies, right? So, I just sidetracked my whole story. See what you did?
Yeah, I did see that.
Oh.
Sorry.
So anyway, we're going through the aisle, and I'm saying to myself, I gotta find these munchies. I gotta see if they still make the munchies, right? And there's a lady there. She's an older, well, not really older. I'd say maybe mid-40s or mm-hmm. so. Kind of a larger lady.
Mm-hmm. So you know she knows.
Well, she's got her cart there, right?
And oh, she's shopping or she works there?
She's shopping.
Okay.
She's shopping. And she's in the aisle, and I think she had a couple of bags of Cheetos in the cart. And she heard me say, I'm just looking. I was talking to Blaze. I got to find those munchies and see if they got the munchies. And she said, I heard her say under her breath, I heard her say, I hope you don't want any because there might not be any left. I heard her say that. And I'm like, is she talking to me? And yep. I look, and she's taking all the munchos.
Munchos?
Munchos. You know those potato chips There aren't real potato chips. They're like potato crisps. You've had Munchos. They're in the red bag.
I guess so, yeah.
But it sounds like Munchies. So I think she thought I said Munchos. So she's just clearing out the entire selection of Munchos.
Wow.
She's kept taking bags.
She knew that you possibly wanted a bag.
She didn't care. She was taking them, man.
She didn't care. So first come, first serve.
So, but they were near the Munchies. They're like two over from the Munchies. And so I'm having to wait. And so I can hear her kind of like just grumbling as she's taking these bags. She's going... and she's just filling her cart. I mean, she must have taken 8 bags of Munchos.
Wow.
She just kept going. And so there was
she
like...
She should stop at a grocery store.
She should.
It'd be cheaper.
It was a grocery... It was Walmart. It was like a
super it's Walmart. Okay, yeah.
So she... There was like two rows. Like one rack and then another rack. And the other rack was kind of taller. And so there was one bag, like all the way towards the back...
She couldn't get it.
...that she couldn't get to. And she was reaching for it. And then she just kind of went... Huff, and just let it go. And, like, took her card and left. I think she was kind of disappointed because she was thinking I was going to get it.
Right.
Like, I wanted it.
She was trying to keep you from getting any.
She was trying to keep me from getting any of them. She wanted all the Munchos. And so she's walking away, and so I made sure to be very loud about it. Like, ah, Munchies. They do have them. And grabbed the bag of Munchies to let her know that I didn't even want your stinking Munchos.
Right. Nobody wants your fake potato chips.
Why is she getting so many?
Beats me, man. I don't know.
Those won't keep. Let's have a shelf life.
Oh, she's gonna go through them.
She's gonna tear through those. That's all that was in the cart, man. A couple bags of Cheetos and like 9 bags of Munchos.
Get some Cheetos for variety.
What's going on? She's making her own Munchies.
Yep.
She's sprinkling a little bit of Cheetos.
Put some Cheetos in
a little bit of Cheetos in her bags of Munchos. Munchitos. That's what she's making.
Hey, I just had a great idea for a snack.
Munchitos.
Munchitos. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. So there was that. That was actually on my list of things to talk about. Oh. Just.
Well, we got.
Oh, speaking of snacks,
we got to it when we got to it. What? What do you have?
I got a little something for you.
What? What is this?
There's a.
Huh? What?
What happened?
This is a frosted honey bun.
That's a Cinnabon honey bun.
A Cinnabon honey bun?
It's a Cinnabon honey bun.
It's a Cinnabon.
It's a Cinnabon honey bun. Yeah, my mom gave me some. So
really?
I'm going to grab one of these and bring it in for Mike.
That was nice of you.
Yeah.
Nice of your mom, too.
Yeah. So there it is.
Tell your mom I said hi.
I will.
Tell your mom hi for me. How's it go?
What?
That's from Back to the Future. Have you seen it?
I've seen it. Okay, so this is a free-for-all episode.
Not really.
But also, on top of it, we're going to talk about G.I. Joe a little bit.
It's a half free-for-all.
It's a half free-for-all. We're going to do some catch-up type stuff.
It's a half-for-all.
It's yeah.
Half G.I. Joe.
It's a half for some. So, I just got back from the G.I. Joe convention this past weekend, so I came back and said, hey, let's talk about G.I. Joe a little bit, because there's a new movie out. Neither one of us have seen it, but we both really enjoy G.I. Joe. We grew up on G.I. Joe. So, we're going to talk a little bit about G.I. Joe towards the end of the show, but first, we're going to do our catch-up stuff, as usual. So.
As... Oh,
sticky fingers.
I got sticky
fingers.
Sticky
fingers. Hang on, I'll get a napkin.
I got to tell you, I hate... Well, while James get me a napkin... I hate sticky fingers more than anything. I'm just sharing it with you guys. I hate having food on my hands, and I hate licking it off. Oh, just lick it off. No. No, that's...
You said that on the show before.
Have I?
I'm pretty sure.
I'm saying it again. It's disgusting to me. There's like 3 girls in the world maybe that could do that and not gross me out by seeing it, but most people do.
Mm. You know what grosses me out?
What's that?
That they were going to do that show, Star Wars Detours. Remember that?
Yeah.
That grosses me out.
What happened to that?
Oh, it's dead. Dead in the water.
Oh, good.
Because they were starting that before Disney took over.
Mm-hmm.
No, Disney taking over in the new movies. Disney was like, let's put that on hold.
Let's put that on the back burner.
Let's not do D-Towers! It's terrible. If you haven't seen that, go on YouTube and look at the Star Wars Detours trailer. It's not funny at all.
No, Disney.
I rewatched it. It's just not funny.
Disney's making some moves, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, well, there's that.
Well, that gets... Somewhat segues into Oblivion comes out next weekend.
I thought you were going to mention that.
I'm going to go see it. I think it looks great.
Yeah.
And I just found out that M83 does the soundtrack. It's a group that I really like. They kind of make like almost 80s style, sort of retro kind of pop music. But they're doing the soundtrack for it, which I think is a brilliant move. The same director, the guy who directed Tron Legacy, is directing it. And, you know, he got... Daft Punk to do the soundtrack
for that.
So it kind of seems like maybe a thing with him. You want some dried cranberries? Oh, I love dried fruit. So I just I'm doubly excited about it now because of that. And so I'm looking forward to that. I'll let you know.
Let me know how that is.
I'll let you know how it is. I mean, yeah. It could wind up being bad.
I'm going to try and go see G.I. Joe this weekend.
Yeah?
So that'll be probably my only movie thing. We haven't talked since Jurassic Park.
Nope.
Like the show.
We haven't done the show since.
Okay. Me and Blaze and I went to see Jurassic Park 3D as a sneak preview.
That was nice. Would you mind coming on
Grammar Features?
Grammar Features?
Yeah. So we went and saw Jurassic Park 3D. We had a sneak preview pass. So we got to go.
Sneak preview?
It was a sneak preview. It was so packed.
You must be the luckiest boy
so
ever.
So packed, man. People love a free movie.
Yeah.
Love it. Even if it's 20 years old, they love a free movie.
Yeah,
they can't
do.
Get enough of it, dude.
No.
Nick had a sneak preview pass for The New Evil Dead. And he said he showed up way early, but it was insane. He said there's no way getting in.
Oh, wow.
They love it. They love a free movie. They'll take a gamble that they're not going to make it in. Stand in line for forever on the chance they're getting the free movie.
Yep.
But Jurassic Park 3D was great. It has a good 3D conversion in that it's not in your face.
Yeah.
You can almost just kind of ignore that it's in 3D, but it's just kind of, there's certain elements where it's like, oh, that looks cool. There's not a lot of blur factor, because sometimes when stuff gets converted to 3D, there's a lot of blur.
With movement, especially.
Yeah. It was great seeing it on the big screen again. Crazy to think that it had been 20 years since I've seen it on the big screen.
Yeah.
And it was Blaze's first time seeing it. There were some great moments where he would almost jumped out of his seat.
Oh, yeah.
It was so great. I highly recommend going to see it if you liked it when it first came out, or if you have never seen it before, or give it a shot. I mean, even if it's in 3D and you don't like 3D, it's not that bad. So
does a T-Rex foot come at you for the screen?
Oh, it, you can see its toenails.
Oh.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. It does.
Oh.
All right. What else you got?
Let's see. A couple other movies, movie things. One, teaser trailer, first trailer for Only God Forgives, the director of Drive and Ryan Gosling team up again. And I think that looks great. I don't know when it's coming out, but if you type in the words only on YouTube, that's like the first thing that comes up, so you know it's...
Oh, really? I thought Only the Lonely would have been the first thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
I would have thought Lost Lonely Boys would come up.
Hmm.
That stupid group. Remember that group?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
I think it's a musical group.
Only Have Eyes for You. I thought that would have came up.
For Your Eyes Only.
Yeah. That too.
Those all come up too, first.
They all come up first, yeah, too? Okay, yeah. Good. Just making sure.
So don't worry.
Those aren't getting lost in the shuffle.
I'm mentioning that. Just, I say check that out.
I haven't seen Drive.
You haven't seen that? No.
I haven't watched that.
No, you haven't watched that.
That's like my new Fight Club.
I know.
I'm going to see how long I can go without watching it.
I thought maybe that's what you were doing.
I'm going to do it. I think I'm going to do it.
Okay, look. Look. I want to say this right now. I'm going to do this. This is not about Drive. This is about the party mix. When you have a party mix that has the rye, the dried, crispy breads in them.
Yeah.
I like those, okay? But they're hard on your teeth. Oh, it's raining now.
It's really raining.
I like those, but they're hard on your teeth.
They are.
But if you try and pour them out, you get so many. There's so many, that's the first thing that comes out.
It's disappointing.
They should lessen the ratio, make the ratio smaller of rye bread to everything else, because I don't want so many of them. I want just once, like, every once in a while.
I don't know if anybody that, when they have the party mix, they're like, man, I can't wait to get those big, giant, brick-like rye pieces. That's a party.
I don't know anybody that does that.
I want more of those in there. Nobody wants those in there.
I can't think of anybody that does.
I don't think anybody... I mean, if you do, if you're okay with them, you're okay with them.
If you do,
I
want to...
think anybody really wants them in there.
If that's your favorite thing, I want to hear from you.
That's filler. They're just filling up space.
That's what it seems like, but is rye bread cheap?
Yeah. Yeah. It's stale rye bread. That's what they throw in there.
Is it cheaper than...
It's leftover.
Than like a Cheeto or something?
I don't know.
Probably
I
don't
not. Know. I can't back up.
Okay.
All right. What else you got?
Watch the trailer for Robot Jocks.
Looks great. I can't wait for it, dude.
I can't wait for it to come out.
I can't wait. It's directed by Guillermo del Toro.
Actually, it's already out.
Oh, wait. I'm thinking about Pacific Rim, which is kind of ripping off RoboJocks, apparently.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's been out for like 23 years. What, it came out in 1990?
I never saw it.
I never saw it either.
I don't remember anything about it.
But my friend...
It's got the guy from Alien Nation, the series.
That's right. The series. The TV series.
Well, the television series.
Without the alien head.
Yeah.
With his hair.
The regular guy. No, it's the regular guy.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a segment on that show where he had a dream or something? He had an alien head?
I don't know.
Anyway.
Yeah.
My friend Chad. Hi, Chad. Watches it on YouTube and tells me I have to watch it. So we looked up the trailer. Right. He was right. I have to watch that movie.
I would love that movie as a kid. I'd have seen it.
Me too.
Giant robots fighting each other and guys controlling them?
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
That's what it's all about. I told you that somebody took the Pacific Rim audio and put RoboJock scenes to it, and it's like, wow, look at that.
Look what they did.
I thought that they were doing something original with
Pacific
Rim.
They're not. They weren't, no.
They're just doing RoboJocks.
They're just robot jocks.
RoboJocks.
RoboJock sounds better, but it's robot jocks.
RoboJocks.
Well, I said to Chad, he says, is it robo or robot? And I said, well, it's robot. And I said, but robo does sound better. And
it way better.
He said, yeah, but that movie wasn't about being better.
No, it wasn't.
No, so I thought it was funny.
But it actually is.
It might be.
It's about being better than Pacific Rim, maybe.
Maybe it is.
Maybe it is better.
I might enjoy it.
I like these cranberries, I'll tell you that much.
I like dried beans. Hmm. I like them too. Okay.
There's a bunch of previews for the new, for Phase 2 of Avengers.
Oh, yeah.
Like, little snippets. Bunch of them?
I only saw the one thing, I think.
It's not like a trailer or anything.
Oh.
It's like this little documentary featurette thing.
Oh, yeah.
Where it shows the Ant-Man footage, which looks really good. It's got some clips from Thor being filmed and Iron Man 3, obviously. And then it's got production art for Winter Soldier, Captain America 2, The Winter Soldier, which looks... The art looks great. They just started filming that. There's like one shot of Cap with the shield on his back that they've shown from the actual film.
That's cool.
That's cool. And then some production art from Guardians of the Galaxy, which... Guardians of the Galaxy, I think, is going to be a fun, good movie. Mm. I'm just kind of worried about how well the public's going to receive it.
With the Green Lantern.
With the Green Lanterns, yeah.
You know what?
Oh, wait, no, not Green Lanterns.
Sometimes you just have to take a...
You gotta take a gamble.
A gamble like that, and, you know, if you like it, then it'll get on DVD quicker if people don't like it.
Yeah.
And be your own personal like little Dredd. Gem. Like Dredd.
Yeah.
Or like many other things.
They said Zoe Saldana, who played Uhura in Star Trek, mm-hmm. has been cast as Gamora. She's one of the Guardians of the Galaxy. So she's in there. Drax is cast.
Does she get a ring?
No, it's not Green Lanterns, actually.
Hmm.
It's not really involving them at all. That's DC.
Hmm.
It's actually a DC property. But speaking of DC... The head exec from Warner Brothers just came out and said the whole Christopher Nolan behind Justice League thing, because the big thing going around was Christopher Nolan is the creative force behind the Justice League movie. He's going to helm it, and Christian Bale's coming back as Batman. Totally not true.
Oh, that's good.
Totally not true. Christopher Nolan's not involved.
Christian
Bale's not coming back. I think that is good.
I think so.
A lot of people are saying, oh, that's horrible news, but I think it's good news.
It's good news. It needs to be separate. They were playing that in the store. The other day that I was in there, and his voice is... I haven't watched him in a long time, but his voice is just... It's
no good.
Come on.
It's no good. I tell you what, right now.
Get out of denial. You're in denial if you think it's cool.
I think 2 weeks from now we should do the Keaton Batman episode. And in that episode we can talk about how we feel about Keaton Batman versus Bale Batman.
I think everybody knows, but okay.
Well, we need to get in... We've been promising a Keaton Batman episode.
Yeah, we need to talk about it.
We need to do it.
There's going to be another Batman episode, too.
Yeah. Well, I think we need to do this one first.
I think
so. Since it came first anyway.
Yes, I think so.
So we need to get that one done and out of the way.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, I'm not a Christian Bale Batman fan. I'm not a Christopher Nolan Batman movies fan. So I'm really happy to hear that they're not part of it. I want Justice League. If they're going to do a Justice League movie, I want it to be like a comic book movie. I don't want to be a real world setting.
You think they'll get Omega Red in there?
Oh, they probably will. He's integral.
And Domino?
To the franchise. The franchise, yeah.
Yeah.
Domino, Shatterstar.
Yeah.
All of those. All the best ones in the know.
All of them.
Yeah. So he's not involved. I don't know. They're now saying that Superman Man of Steel, the Zack Snyder Superman film, is going to be the stepping stone to doing this. Because they said, we've always considered the Christopher Nolan Batman films to be a separate thing. You know, they're involved in a world that doesn't have superheroes and all this different stuff. But the Superman movie opens it up to a world that has superheroes and things like that. I mean, that might be a step in the right direction.
Might be.
We'll see how it goes. I'm cautiously optimistic about Superman Man of Steel.
Because
mm-hmm. I like Zach...
Galifianakis.
I like Zack Snyder's 300.
Superman.
No, he's not. Hmm. No. I like Zack Snyder's movies. 300 and Watchmen were great.
Yeah, great.
But I'm worried with Christopher Nolan being the producer that it's going to be too focused on making it dramatic, real world problem,
right.
Superman type
right.
stuff. I don't know. We'll see.
No telling.
I will say this. I'm sorry if I'm jumping all over what you're about to say.
No, you're not.
I saw this again today, and we talked about it during the Amazing Spider-Man movie, but I'm going to say it again. I'm absolutely sick and tired of when there is a reboot of a character in the film.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody coming out of the woodwork and saying, finally, a good Superman movie. Finally, a good Spider-Man movie. Those old ones are so cheesy. They're so bad. Oh, thank goodness they finally updated the suit. That old that spandex stuff doesn't work. That's garbage. That wouldn't look terrible nowadays. You know what? Just because you want to get your new movie over so bad that you're so into new stuff, it doesn't mean you have to dog the old stuff.
You don't have to. There's a reason why it's popular still.
Exactly.
I mean, those movies...
They're classics. Superman 1 is great.
Yeah,
it's no a matter good movie. When you watch that, no matter what time it's from, that movie is great. And there's nothing that's going to change that movie being great. Even if the new movie is good, that doesn't change the fact that the original movie was great.
You just can't change that movie.
It's ridiculous, man. They did it with Batman. They did it with Spider-Man. They're doing it with Superman. Anything, there's a new version. It's, the old ones were crap. How come they were so good for so long and it stood the test of time?
Right.
I'm talking about Superman 1 and 2. Yeah. I'm not talking about 3 and 4, but they're talking about all the Superman films. How come they've stood this test of time and gone on for so long if they were crap?
Well,
it's ridiculous.
With the Spider-Man is probably even a better example, I think, because those movies were so recent. So you have record of people for the last several years praising those movies. I mean, everybody.
Exactly.
We had the internet when those came out, and you know, most for the most part, people loved those movies.
Mm-hmm.
And now, if everybody's saying finally a good one, then where are all the people that loved it then? I guarantee those are some of the same people, and they're just...
Oh, no doubt.
You know,
they glom onto the new thing. It's always, get on the new thing. Oh, it's going to be hardcore. It's going to be awesome. You know, he's got a new suit. It's man, about time. But yet, you were probably there with everybody else going, this is awesome. You know,
yeah.
it's ride that train, man. Whatever's current, ride that
train. The soul train.
I hate that crap, man. If you want to enjoy something new, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. You don't have to dog the old stuff.
Yeah, you don't have to put it in that context. It's not one or the other.
It's not.
It's like, hey, I like Superman.
Yeah, you can say,
Spider-Man.
I mean, cool, a new Superman movie. I'll go check it out. I really like those original two. That's great. Or if you don't like the original two, you don't like them. But you don't sit there and dog them and say, about time we got a good one. Everybody for years has agreed Superman 1 and 2 are classics.
Yeah.
They're great films.
Yeah.
There's no reason to dog them. Spider-Man 1 and 2 are great films.
That's right.
89 Batman's a great film. It's just kind of like, why do you have to dog the old one to like the new one? Stupid.
You don't
Stupid
have to.
People that say those things.
Wow. Okay.
I'm not going to feel bad if somebody does that listens to the show and like, ugh, you're calling me stupid? You know what? Don't listen to us anymore.
You're not going to feel bad about it.
Don't listen to it.
Don't listen.
We don't need you.
I had stupid people written on my list. I'm just going to cross that off.
I got it covered.
Too. You covered
it. Got it covered for you, buddy.
Yeah, buddy.
You know?
Yeah, I know.
I don't like stupid people at all.
Get your goat.
Yep.
It really gets your goat.
Got it.
Good.
Got my goat. That's all I got written down.
Oh, okay. Well,
anything else?
No, but we could talk Joe now.
Let's talk about some G.I. Joe.
I gotta be honest, I don't have a G.I. Joe level of intensity right now. I'm kind of tired.
You tired?
It's all right. We're gonna do it.
Let's just do our top five.
I was just gonna sing the G.I. Joe theme song like a lot, but I'm not gonna do that now.
We'll do that then.
Okay.
What time are we at?
We're at 23 minutes right now, so.
Okay, well, let's think here.
Let's just do what we're just going to talk about G.I. Joe. You went to G.I. Joe BotCon this weekend.
I went to G.I. Joe BotCon this weekend.
Okay.
Well, we'll just kind of talk a little bit about G.I. Joe, stemming from that, right? Well, you know, I'm a big Joe fan.
I know you like G.I. Joe.
I've got the snake eyes tattoo on my arm. Had it for a long time.
The Hiroshima.
Not exactly.
That's what it's called.
It's not it, really, at all.
It's Japanese for warrior.
So for a long time, you know, when we had the shop, I would handle all the G.I. Joe stuff. That was like the main thing I did for the longest time was G.I. Joe stuff. And so I got to know a lot of guys in town and went to Indy for the first time I've ever been to a G.I. Joe show. But I've been kind of away from the G.I. Joe fandom for a while. You know, I kind of gave it up. It was... That 25th line just kind of spiraled out of control with exclusives and everything like that. Just became too much, and I just kind of walked away like, okay, I need to take a break. This is too much.
Yeah, it's a lot.
So since it was in Indy and since I've been away from Joe for a while and I figured I'd see people there, I went ahead and went. And it was great seeing a bunch of people that are still excited about Joe. But at the same time, it was like looking at what Hasbro was offering... I was like, wow, this is some really cool stuff in this case. Like, I would see this case of stuff they have coming. great Snake Eyes coming, a great Cobra Commander, and a great Storm Shadow. But everything else that I was seeing, it was like, oh, okay, this is something that might happen. Here's our case of things that we might get to. And here's the series of figures that's only for the fan club. And here's this set that you can only get at this convention. Right. Here's this and this. And it just reminded me, like, okay, that's why I stopped. Yeah. It's become out of too out of control. It's not like when we were kids and collecting Joe was fun. You could just go in and pick out a guy. And there were $3, and you could just grab a guy.
They made the figure, they didn't make him.
Yeah.
There were some exclusives back then, but you had a chance to get them. You would mail in for them. You would have proofs of
them. Were all available to everybody. So I'm sad to see where Joe's at now. But it being there both reminded me of why I quit and reminded me why I liked G.I. Joe so much for so long. Was seeing all the vintage stuff and all the people there and all the comics and things like that of all the G.I. Joe stuff that I loved as a kid. Because the cartoon, the comic, and the toys were all great.
Oh, yeah.
It was one of those rare... I got peanuts in my mouth. Hang on.
You got... Yeah. What?
Peanuts.
Okay.
Come on now.
I didn't say anything. I just... I couldn't...
You
I
said
did,
something.
I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you through the headphones.
It's ridiculous.
Okay, well...
Hang on.
Okay.
It was one of those rare properties in the 80s that had all three things were good from it. The toys were great. Great toy line.
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt.
The cartoon was great.
Yep.
And the comics were great. I can't think of another toy line that had those three things going for it. If you think about Transformers.
Yeah.
Now, I liked Transformers toys as a kid. They were limited. I liked the cartoon a lot, but I never really enjoyed the comic that much as a kid. It wasn't on the same par as G.I. Joe, I don't think. And then I don't think of any other thing that even got close. Transformers was probably the closest that had all three of the things that I liked as a kid. Now, I didn't... we talked about in the X-Men podcast that I didn't really like start hardcore collecting comics, like collecting every issue until that one issue of X-Men.
Yeah.
But as a kid, G.I. Joe was the comic that I picked up the most and just had around. I didn't buy every single issue, but I had a lot of G.I. Joe comics as a kid. Because it was a good comic. Like, it was just a fun read. It took it and made it, like, realistic. The G.I. Joe comic was actually better, I think, than the cartoon, and that's kind of what I thought of as the scenarios, like Snake Eyes with Scarlet, and Cobra Commander is not sort of a bumbling idiot a lot of the time. So it was just, it was great, man. All three together were just great. You couldn't top that trio.
I couldn't top it.
You couldn't.
And it's the definitive.
It really is.
You know, for
yeah,
action, I mean, for what, action. Properties.
It's the definitive for the line itself. I mean, look how many times they've come back to the 80s version of it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was started in the 60s.
Yeah.
But everybody thinks of G.I. Joe, they think, I'd say the majority of people, would think of it as the 80s property. And that's what they've gone back to for the movies and what they go back to for the toy line now, the original designs and all that stuff. It all stems back from that because it was so interesting and so diverse, so many characters. I think only The Simpsons has rivaled that cartoon for the amount of named speaking characters. If you think about it.
I hadn't thought about that, but...
There's so many characters in the G.I. Joe cartoon. Oh, and you knew them all
tons.
As a kid.
Yeah.
You knew them all.
Yeah.
It's just you knew all their names, you knew all their specialties, and it was such a huge team.
And hard to juggle.
You just knew them all.
Hard to juggle that many characters in any one property. And different people having different... being featured on certain episodes.
Yeah.
And, but still getting them in the background, you know, in other episodes.
There were always the standouts, like Duke and Flint and Shipwreck and those guys. But they made sure to filter in the other guys, too. And I'm sure that'll have a lot to do with the toy sales.
Yeah.
But it never came across as, this is for a toy sale.
Right, yeah, it was kind of, I mean, it was well done.
It really was.
Yeah.
And I remember, especially, too, when I was a kid, that it was so intriguing because they advertised... Back then, there was legislature about using cartoon advertising for toys or something like that in commercials. And they actually created the comics so that they could do animation advertisements that obviously were meant to sort of advertise the toy line, but they were advertising the comic book. You find out in the next issue, you know, and then here's Destro and all these things. You'd see these characters in these fantastic animated commercials, and you'd go, wow, okay, that's the comic, but... I want to buy those guys. I want to buy Destro, and I want to buy Zartan or something like that. So it was really amazing to me as a kid seeing those commercials, and of course they spun that into a show from there. But it was like unlike anything else. I mean, that was the really cutting edge thing. You know, these animated commercials for comic books They were basically advertising the toys.
Yeah.
It was just really cool as a kid. Just so many things about that line were just perfect. Perfect timing, perfect setup, perfect marketing. Just, it was a great time. And that's why I loved that line so much.
Oh, yeah.
And the vehicles and the play sets. Nothing like that nowadays.
No. Everybody had a G.I. Joe. You know, at least one.
Yeah.
Funny thing about me, this is a personal thing about myself, is that I don't have much recollection of watching the original television show. For some reason, I just missed the time slot when it was on, whatever. I don't know why, but I had G.I. Joe the movie. My grandmother bought me on VHS tape at Big Lots, I think, at Odd Lots.
She read the right choice.
It was Odd Lots at the time. I thought it was a live-action thing, and so did she. And when she found out it wasn't, she was disappointed. I said, Grandma, don't worry about it.
Don't be disappointed.
Don't be disappointed. There's no disappointment here. I wore that thing out. I watched that I don't know how many times.
A lot of people criticize it and say, oh, Cobra Lot's too sci-fi and all these different things. I love the G.I. Joe animated movie.
It's a great movie.
That opening sequence of them on the Statue of Liberty is maybe my favorite piece of animation outside of Batman the Animated Series ever made. It's so good.
As far as the intro goes, I think it's probably the best intro.
It's the best intro there ever was.
Animated thing I've ever seen.
And a little tidbit for our listeners, that was handled by, and I may have said this in another episode, that was handled by Larry Houston, who penciled vintage He-Man mini-comics.
Oh, yeah.
And then he went on to be the guiding force and sort of the directorial force behind the X-Men Animated Series.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. That's cool.
Cool guy, Larry Houston. But that was all him. That was, he like came up with that and storyboarded it and all that stuff. That was his sequence.
Well, kudos to him because it turned out great.
So good.
And even the
much going on.
Even the sequence after that,
Pythona's
when
entrance?
Pythona's going into the sneaking into the thing.
I wanted Pythona so bad.
Oh,
as a
so
kid.
Did I. They didn't make her.
They didn't make her. They made the Cobra Lot team. I would have much rather had Galobulus, Nemesis Enforcer, and Pythona.
Yes.
Skip the Royal Guard guy.
I don't need the Royal Guard. I like the Royal Guard.
Make him single carded. Yes. He's an army builder anyway.
That's right.
Army builder wasn't as big back then, but still, what are you gonna do with one Royal Guard?
They had no reason not to make more
Pythona
figures.
Should have been in there.
Yeah,
they're trying to make her nowadays as part of that fan subscription service thing. Yeah. But that's a tangent we don't need to get on. But that movie, man, I remember vividly, and I may have told this story before in the podcast, but we've been going for like a year and a half now. So if I tell the same story, that's not a big deal. I remember vividly we were out selling, I think, candy bars. I think it was. I'm saying I remember vividly, but I don't remember the circumstances why we were walking. But I'm pretty sure we were selling candy bars. But the part I remember vividly was that in the TV guide, we used to get those TV guide things in the paper, like little things. There was a little blurb at one of the bottom of the pages, and it said, G.I. Joe, the movie premieres such and such time, 3:45, whatever it was, on this date. And I remember seeing that week and going, I got to be back at this time. You know, I got to be at the house at this time to watch this. So we were out doing this. I kept telling my mom, we have to get back. We have to get back. G.I. Joe, the movie's coming on soon, and we have to get back. And she was like, we're going to make it. It'll be fine. You know, it'll be on again if we miss some of it. I'm like, no. We're not going to miss some of it.
Yeah.
We have to get back. I have to get home, Mom. This is important. I have to see G.I. Joe, the movie. And it was getting so close when we were walking back. Because, you know, you walk everywhere when you're a kid. It was getting so close. It's like, Mom, I'm sorry. I got to run. And so, like, I was just booking, man. I was like, we were, like, a few blocks from the house, and I booked, man.
Can't wait for her.
And I couldn't wait for her. And I got in there as the credits were going. So I had missed the opening sequence. Because I got in there as Python was making the entrance. So I had missed the whole thing. And I didn't see that until it was broken up until the five-parter. But I still got to watch the whole rest of the movie and all that stuff. But, man, it was so good. It was so good.
I think it still holds up well. And of course, growing up with it, I might have a bias, but there's a lot of things that I've been able to look at objectively and say, you know what, that's not as good as I remember. But that movie really is.
It really holds up.
It really holds up well.
I love the way they introduce new characters in it. I think that Lieutenant Falcon was awesome.
Yes.
Love Lieutenant Falcon.
Yes.
The tying in Slaughter's Renegades and all that stuff, I thought it was just perfectly done. I thought it was really, really a good film. I don't know if it's the same. I don't know if I hold it in as high regard as the Transformers animated movie.
Yeah.
Because that's great from start to finish. And I actually saw that at a theater, you know, since it was a theatrical release. But G.I. Joe the movie is really, really good. Really good. That's one of the main defining moments of Joe for me as a kid, too. The comic was really where it was at for the longest time, and I liked the cartoon a lot. But the movie was just like, holy crap, this is great. This is so good. And that really got me jazzed about Joe for a long time after that. But all good things had to come to an end.
You can't keep that up.
Can't keep it up for forever. And then it spun into Eco Force and DEF and all that craziness. And it was like, oh, okay. But the one constant was still the comic. And Larry Hama kept writing that comic and it kept it good. Up until the end of the comic. It was still a good book. He took the craziest concepts and made them still work in that book, like the DEF and the Eco Warriors and all that different stuff.
Mm.
Made it all work in that comic. It was one of the very few comics that, you know, I kept all those random ones, and then I started buying X-Men and wanted to piece in my Joe collection. It was one of the very few comics that I pieced together the entire run over time, before, like, eBay and all that stuff.
Right.
1 through 155, the whole run. Just great book, man. G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. I didn't read it, but I remember my neighbor had that issue where, I can't remember which one it is, but I think Storm Shadow and Snake Eyes are going at it or whatever, but Storm Shadow throws a sword at a guy through the door. This is so iconic to me, I just feel like everybody should know it. And then he...
Are you talking about where Snake Eyes slaps it, like puts his hand together
maybe.
And grabs it?
At some point, Storm Shadow jumps out of a window and does flips, and it's got like three or four panels in a row where it shows him falling down, he lands on a car.
Maybe. I don't remember which one that was.
Okay, well, never mind.
But man, it's a great series. It really is.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic series. Nothing else has come close to it. They've rebooted it with Devil's Due, and then IDW took over after that, and then Larry Hama actually came back to the book and is now rewriting it, doing new issues. They continue the numbering of the old ones, and nothing compares to those old ones. Nothing has captured it.
Nothing compares.
Yeah, you know it. You know the song.
Nothing
so I think we've talked long enough about memories of it, right?
Yeah.
We'll do like a top five Joe characters?
Yeah, top five Joe characters.
Why don't we do it a little different? Because I have a feeling that the number one character is going to be a given.
Yeah, probably.
So why don't we go 1 to 5 this time?
1 to 5, okay.
Because those will be the surprises, 2 through 5.
All right.
Number one is, of course, Snake Eyes.
Snake Eyes, yeah.
You can't top Snake Eyes.
It was the definitive. I mean, it was the one that stood out that you just...
And he was born out of thriftiness. Because in the original line... They wanted one with no paint apps, so
right.
It was a guy all in black,
right.
And he becomes the iconic G.I. Joe character.
Yeah.
He's the best. I mean,
yeah.
You put him in the same par, you know, fighting wise and character wise. It's like Batman and Wolverine and those kind of guys.
Yeah,
he's the standout.
He's got the mystique that many of the other ones don't have,
and no talking and the mask and just the,
so
the
cool
wolf.
Looking. It was the 80s, awesome. And you couldn't get beyond a ninja.
It was, and he was the ultimate ninja.
In the 80s, the ninja was like the thing. Everything was ninja something.
He's a ninja, but he also uses weapons, like guns and
Uzis.
Right.
So he's a commando. He's
commando.
A commando.
You know,
but,
he's got all the ninja skills.
Yes.
But also uses modern-day weapons. He's, man, you cannot beat Snake Eyes. And his origin and what happens to him and his relationship with Scarlet and his relationship with Storm Shadow and all that stuff. It just has a lot of rich history for just that one character built into G.I. Joe. Snake Eyes tops.
I don't remember. I think the first Snake Eyes I had was the version 3. I don't remember having Snake Eyes 2, but when I got that version 3, it was Christmas.
He's great.
And I was like,
man, it's so cool.
I was thrilled with it.
He still holds up.
Yeah.
That figure still holds up. I think all of the Snake Eyes, the first one's dated.
Yeah.
But I think all of them past that one really kind of hold up as sculpts and figures.
Yeah, I think so.
Especially that third version, man.
You know what? I didn't like version 4. Like, we were knocking version 4 for a little bit because he had those loud colors, but I love it now.
I'm cool with it now. You get rid of those orange weapons.
Right.
Orange's pink weapons. The figure itself is fine.
Right.
Yeah, I really dig that third version Snake Eyes. You're right.
Yeah.
Okay, so you want to do your number 2?
My number 2 was Zartan.
My number 2 is also Zartan.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, okay. Well... This is not a figure. I never had this figure.
Yeah.
And he doesn't get much time in the movie. But what an awesome character. I mean, he changes. He drives around in his swamp bike. And
he's got the dreadnoughts with him.
And he's
goes to the highest bidder, basically.
Exactly. He's a bad guy that is not... he's not limited to what, like... You know, he doesn't work for Cobra Commander.
Yeah.
He could tell Cobra Commander
to go do his own thing, pound sand,
you know,
yeah.
And...
Oh, this is too hot. Okay, well, I'm going to get out of here. This money's not worth it. I'm gone.
Yeah.
He's got the dreadnoughts. And, I mean, there's a lot more in the comics as to what he does and things like that. But,
He looks cool.
He looks cool. Cool figure. Color changes in sun.
Right.
Comes with that mask. It was on my commercial list. The Zartan commercial was great. Zartan's awesome.
Yeah.
Great design. He's just a great, great character. I mean, he vies for number one with me sometimes. He's just... Yeah. Zartan is awesome. Zartan is really, really a cool, well-thought character.
Very cool.
Yeah. What's your number three? I think it's going to be the same.
I think it might be Falcon.
It's not. It's not the same. Okay. Mine's Storm Shadow.
Yeah, well, I had Snake Eyes, so I let Storm Shadow sit it out because I didn't have two ninjas.
But I understand.
But it's Don Johnson.
Man, I'm going to tell you right now, he almost made my list, but I just had to drop him because...
There's so many characters.
There's so many characters, but he was going to be on my honorable mentions, but I'll say now, he's awesome.
Stole it, Falcon.
Great lines. It's all about G.I. Joe the movie for him.
Yeah, all about it.
I mean, the figure's great, too.
Yeah.
But he didn't have much of a role in the comic.
Yeah, I'm not talking about the figure.
But. I mean, and that kind of ends, the G.I. Joe movie ends the Sunbow animation. So he didn't get really a good, other than that, that's it for him for animation.
Yeah.
Awesome. Don Johnson. Perfect.
It's great.
He's perfect as Lieutenant Falcon.
He's so cool. He's always getting
he's
with the...
He's the coolest cat,
getting
man.
Getting with the ladies, shooting shooting ricochet.
Over my shoulder.
Books with the ricochet
laser.
Yeah,
he's laser. The best, man. Want me to kiss it and make it better?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just, man, suave.
Suave, dude.
Lieutenant Falcon.
Don Johnson.
Yeah, he's
all
the best.
So Falcon was my third.
Falcon is your third. Third is for me is Storm Shadow. He's great as a villain and great as a hero.
Right. I love that he kind of switches back and forth and you get...
Love it.
I tell you what, I love
version two.
I love version
Shadow.
Two. Yes, with the claws. That camouflage.
Oh, and the claws and the are claws. Just so awesome.
It was
the crossbow.
It just looks great,
and it was mind blowing to go, man. Here's a main bad guy, especially if you only watched the cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't read the comic, all you knew that it was Storm Shadow was a bad guy in the cartoon. And here it comes, this figure, Storm Shadow switched sides. He's a G.I. Joe now.
Yeah,
that was crazy. If you were a kid and didn't get the comics, that must have been like. Insane to just see, Storm Shadow's a good guy now.
Yeah.
Man, that's cool, taking a villain character and turning him into a hero. Storm Shadow, number two. Number three, I'm sorry.
I like it. I don't mind he has red weapons, the figure. That figure.
That sword? No, it's just the sword that's red. His crossbow and his claws are black. Yeah. I'm fine with that.
That's fine.
They were starting to do the whole weird colors thing.
You know what else is kind of neat, too, is that Snake Eyes is the good guy and he's got black on, and Storm Shadow
is
the bad
guy
and he's got
white.
He's dressed in white, and that's probably one of the first times that's been done
where it got flip flopped,
because traditionally it's
the other villain
way
characters will be in dark colors. Yeah, good point, man.
Yeah, thanks. My number four is Sergeant Slaughter.
That's a good one. That's good. He's on my honorable mention.
Eddie's disease.
He's great. He's a real G.I. Joe.
He's a real real life G.I. Joe. And
so cool in the cartoon.
Cool in the cartoon. I love his renegades. I love the way he's out there training on his own. Like he's got his own thing going. And as a kid, I just could not get enough of him beating the crap out of Nemesis Enforcer.
Oh,
and he was
so I would reenact it with my toys.
Yeah.
Where
this is for the U.S. of A.
And he's slamming him, dude. When he takes off his belt and like. Put the ground spot and it's like swinging around. We all go home or nobody goes
home. And I just love the way it was animated. Like you could just feel his weight almost.
Yeah.
And he's running forward and he wants to fight Nemesis and Forza.
He wants
another bad.
Round with him.
So
he
bad.
Wants it.
And he gets slapped in the face with that face hugger thing. And he's still kind of hanging in there. You know, just cool.
And
he's
his
just
voice
cool.
acting was great. I mean, go back and listen to it. I mean, that guy's just like, I mean, he's a wrestler and they have to be good on the mic and stuff. But his voice acting is really good.
Yeah.
A lot of character in there. Definitely.
But,
I think, again, his defining moment is the movie. He was in the series before that, and he was good in the series. He would fight, like, tons of bats and do crazy stuff, and he was, a main part of the cartoon for a while there. But I think, again, his best moment is there when he's out there training those guys on his own, where he's taking kind of the worst of the worst and turning them into soldiers and stuff. That's
I love that whole thing when he shows up.
So that was your number four. My number four is Destro. Again, for the same kind of reasons as Zartan, he's kind of on his own. Like he's an arms dealer. He's there with Cobra with money.
Commander.
He's has a relationship with Baroness, who's involved with Cobra and everything.
Yeah, good for him.
But again, he was sort of more of a noble villain. You know, like he was there and he was selling arms and stuff like that. But he would also do kind of, especially in the comics, sort of more noble things every once in a while. And again, he would kind of switch sides a little bit. Here and there, depending on what the situation was. Plus the whole Iron Mask thing.
Yeah,
and just
that's pretty
the
neat.
The look of the character, the original figure having that shiny head. The rockets on his arm. It was just a really cool figure. And then when they updated it to the gold head, and he had his own team, the Iron Grenadiers.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that was
cool.
That
was so awesome. It's just, I mean, you look at all these characters where a lot of the series, it was just the main bad guy, and then he had a bunch of flunkies.
Right.
Whereas G.I. Joe had standout characters on both sides, like especially in the villains, where they would go off and get their own thing going.
Right.
You know, where you'd have Destro and his Iron Grenadiers, and then you'd have, you know...
lots of mileage there.
Yeah, Serpentor coming in, and Cobra Commander being pushed to the back, and all that stuff. Man, good stuff.
Good stuff, okay. Number five for me, it's a little weird. Maybe.
Okay.
But, I mean, probably they're more deserving.
Yeah.
But because the movie was so influential for me, I picked Mercer from...
Hmm. That's another good one.
Because
bad guy to good guy.
Bad guy to good guy. I love that he's an ex Cobra.
Yeah.
Trooper.
Exactly.
And he's just been like, okay, I'm fed up with that. He looks cool. He had the flat top and the orange vest. I mean, he looked cool, and I love that concept.
Yeah.
And he's still a bad guy. Like, he still acts like kind of a bad guy, and you get to see what maybe Cobra troopers are made of.
You kind of think of them as jokes for a while. Vipers get taken out easily.
Right. I mean, they wear helmets. And so he's, I don't know. There's something about that.
I agree with that pick. Mercer's
nowadays.
Cool.
Nowadays is...
And he's one of the only one. He's out of the three of the Renegades. He's the only one in the vintage line, the only one that got a second figure. Mercer ended up getting another figure later on.
I don't remember him.
He had a beard.
Yeah,
they did another Mercer. He's the only one that, in the vintage line. I mean, they've gone back and redone for 25th or whatever. But in the vintage line, he was the only one that got a second shot, if I remember right. And I'm pretty sure Mercer got two.
Probably.
My number five is Cobra Commander. I mean, it really was a matter of I can't do a top five list and not put Cobra Commander on there. He was great in the cartoon. He was bumbling, but great voice, great look to the character.
Good voice work.
Loved him in G.I. Joe in the movie.
Provided some, he always provides some laughs to me, I think. He's kind of...
Great look for the character. He was great in the comics.
Yeah.
Overall, cool character. I mean, I was debating between him and Falcon for number five, but I can't have a list without Cobra Commander on there, just for his comic
version
alone.
I understand. Also wearing blue, the color palettes are that's so different. It's not red.
Yeah.
It's blue, and that's a very strong military color. You know, navy blue is, but just different. It's different. He's a standout bad guy.
He really is.
Partly for that reason.
Cool dude. You got any honorable mentions you want to mention?
Oh, yeah.
Let's hear what you
got. I've got a lot. Chuckles.
Chuckles
is next
great.
Time, Chuckles.
Use the rocket launcher.
Use the rocket launcher.
Cooler in the comic, that character was.
I bet he was.
He was.
Did he talk much? He didn't talk much.
He didn't talk like at all in the cartoon movie.
So he kind of stands out. He's kind of neat. I like Jinx, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I like Jinx a lot.
You're very influenced by that movie.
That was like defined G.I. Joe for me. And I did catch some episodes. I did watch the cartoon sometime shortly after that. I started catching. They started playing reruns, I think, I don't think it was the original run. It was like once they changed. They changed over. Did they change animation companies or?
Oh, after the movie, it switched to Deke, and those are terrible.
Yeah, I watched a lot
those
of Deke.
Those are terrible.
Those are pretty bad.
That's the ones with the got to get tough.
Yo, oh, Joe.
Those, so bad.
Yeah, I saw a lot of those, but the movie. Shipwreck.
Oh, definitely.
I'm surprised he wasn't on your list. That's
he was very close.
Joe.
He was very, very close. Snake Eyes is my favorite.
Yeah.
But Shipwreck is up there.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, a matter of picking and choosing.
I know, there's a lot.
And I tried to pick out ones where. It was two or three things that they're great in, either the toy and the movie, or toy and the cartoon, or toy and the whatever.
Right.
Shipwreck was very close. He's in my honorable mentions, but
he's cool.
Couldn't put him on there.
I had Storm Shadow. It was an honorable mention. He was on your list.
Yeah.
We talked about him. Roadblock. I love Roadblock.
Yeah.
As far as... this was mainly influenced by the figure, but Rock and Roll.
The second Rock and Roll figure?
I love the second one's the one with the beard
and the
t-shirt.
Gatling guns.
He's got a t-shirt, right?
Well, it's like a button-up type thing with like packets on
okay,
it.
Okay, yeah.
He's got a hat.
Yes.
And he's got two giant Gatling
yes,
guns.
That figure's
great.
Who's the guy with the red beard and the white t-shirt?
Red beard. Oh, you're talking about Outback?
Yeah, Outback.
Yeah. You're talking about that guy?
Yeah.
That's the one you're talking
I get
about.
Confused because well, no, I Rock and Roll also.
Yeah.
I looked at that picture but I was thinking about Outback. I couldn't find Outback, so he's on my list also.
The one that says Survival on his shirt.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's Outback. He's great.
Cool figure.
Really cool. And they're bio cards, man. Those bio cards were amazing. Larry Hama, who wrote the comic, wrote the bio cards. And they would have the story of the character. And it would, you'd know that character just from that little snippet.
You really could just buy the toys and not have any to do
else.
With...
And you know everything about those characters that you needed to know.
You'd be fine. Any Eco Warrior? Yeah, I love the Eco Warriors, man. Yeah. They were environmentally friendly, man.
Whoa.
So awesome. All the Eco Warriors. Mm. Yep. Any Ninja Force? Tish Bang?
Wait a second.
Tish Bang is on my...
No, is this the honorable mention or dishonorable?
Oh.
I don't know what you're going with here.
I don't know.
All right.
You don't like Tish Bang?
You're kind of spinning out of... away from your... Well, a list was kind of valid a minute ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Spiral
well,
down.
let me end it with Beachhead. He's the only one I had.
Beachhead's great. For sure, the ones I already said, Shipwreck and Falcon were on my honorable mentions. Yeah. Surge of Slaughter is definitely an honorable mention for me. Those are all great. I really liked Darklon. Like, I liked the look of him. He was one of the Destro's guys. Mm-hmm. I really liked his look and his weapon. I thought it was really, really cool. Those are really the top ones for me. There's other ones. What I do want to say is Hit and Run. Hit and Run was a great figure. And when I was in school, I've probably told you this story before. I don't know for sure. But there was this kid, I won't say his full name, it's Gary. I won't say his last name. And he was your typical lumbering oaf that was like a bully and was just... I used to call him a Neanderthal as a kid, which didn't go over well when I would call him that.
Right.
But I didn't care because I didn't like him. So he would, at school, he had Hit and Run. It was the only redeeming quality about Gary is that he owned Hit and Run.
Yeah, you could have things at that time and people would kind of...
That was the only thing I liked about him. I was like, well, he's got Hit and Run, so that's something.
Yep.
But he would bring it to school, and Hit and Run came with a backpack that had like a grapple hook on it,
mm-hmm.
and you would turn it, and it would like, you know, reeling back in, and you would drop from it or something. And he would hang it off of his desk and let it drop, and it would just be swinging there during class. And I'd be trying to do it on like my math homework or something, and I'd look over and I'd see that Hit and Run dangling there, and be thinking, I want Hit and Run so bad. I want that figure so bad. I wish Gary didn't have it, because I want that figure.
Yep.
And he doesn't deserve that figure. I should have that figure. Because I'm a good kid.
You coveted that
And I
figure.
Like G.I. Joe. I coveted it. I totally broke a commandment.
That was coveting.
I was coveting it like crazy, man. I wanted that figure so bad. Yeah. I would go out of my way to maybe play with Gary some days. I'd be like, hey, you want to... I brought some Joes. Do you want to play around with some Joes? And if he was in a mood where he wasn't being a bully jerk, he would go, oh, yeah, we'll play for a minute. And we'd play. I'd get to see his Hit and Run in action. I'm like, oh, that's
sweet.
That figure's so cool. Yeah. And then we'd go back to, I don't like this guy at all.
Yep.
Yeah, Hit and Run. So he's always going to be high on my list of Joes because having to sit there and want him during school.
Did you ever get him?
I did get him, yeah. Oh. I mean, I have a pretty much a full set of vintage Joes now.
No, I mean, as a kid, did you
As
ever
a kid,
get him?
No, I did not get him. It wasn't until I was in my teenage years and I was buying old Joes that I got him. Yeah.
Yeah.
No Hit and Run for me.
It's too bad.
I tried to trade Daryl Strawberry for him, my starting lineup Daryl Strawberry. Yeah. It didn't go over well. I tried trading that Daryl Strawberry starting lineup for anything, man. I always thought, man, I'll take a gamble.
Throw it
he
out there.
He might say yes.
Throw it out there.
Hey, I got this Daryl Strawberry starting lineup. You want to trade for that Hit and Run? No. No.
Yep.
So I hope you say yes. But it was never a yes.
Of course you're hoping you'd say yes. That's why you put it out.
That's it, man.
Oh.
I'm going to go see it.
Go see it.
I'm going to see the movie.
Let me know. It could be fun.
It could be.
At least you get that mountain sequence with the ninjas.
Yeah. You know, a lot of the guys that... My one friend Aaron, who's way into Joe, he saw it and he's like, it was just kind of okay. It's not that great. It was better than the first one. But my other friend Coy saw it and he said, this is the Joe... As a Joe fan growing up, this is the movie I wanted to see.
Hmm.
So that was kind of a good review. Okay. Like, okay. Yeah, well, if I go into it thinking, like... Don't have huge expectations for a great movie, but maybe just think of like the old Joe cartoon as a kid. You know, going back and watching some of those now. Maybe that'll be what it's like.
Well,
who knows?
Good luck, James.
All right, man. Well, that's it for this one, I guess.
That's it. Another long episode.
How long is it?
It's almost an hour.
Oh, my goodness. What are we doing?
How do we do that?
I don't even know, man.
I told you. It doesn't matter what we're talking about.
It just keeps going.
It just keeps going. And
people get sick of it. I'm so sick of hearing about it.
I'm sick of it right now. Okay.
Ugh.
Well, now you know.
Annoying is...
half the battle.
How come you got the first part, and then you also took part of the second part?
You left a pause in there. I thought I was going to take it.
I was doing it for dramatic effect. I was not saying, hey, Mike, take the other half of this from me.
Well, I didn't know that.
Ugh.
I thought you would recite it pretty much as was on the show.
Ugh.
Yuck.
Yuck.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, man.
All right, well, I'll see you next time.
Action features.